We've been talking about the perspective of faith. We'll finish this piece of the puzzle today. And we know that the perspective of faith can be summarized in three words. It is finished. Last week I said that one of the greatest mistakes we've made in the body of Christ is we've called spiritual realities promises. So let's review for just a moment. What is a promise? A promise is a declaration that one will or will not do a certain thing in the future. Give and it shall be given to you is a promise. It's a declaration that if we give, something will happen in the future. It'll be given to us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. So that's a promise. A spiritual reality is different. Put 1 Peter 2:24. A spiritual reality is different in that the tense is past tense. The action has taken place. It's not going to take place. Notice 1 Peter 2:24 says, by whose stripes you, now look at it, you were healed. You were healed. You were healed. Now the tense is past, isn't it? That means that it is a spiritual reality. It is not a promise. Now listen very carefully. Healing for the believer is not a promise. Healing for the believer is a spiritual reality. According to God's word, you were healed 2,000 years ago. Jesus bore your sicknesses, carried your pains 2,000 years ago on the cross. At the same time that he bore your sins, he bore your sicknesses. So Peter tells us that by his stripes, you were healed. That's a spiritual reality. Now, at this all review, as it relates to our inheritance in Christ, the New Testament language is predominantly written in the past tense. Last week, I took you from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 all the way to 1 John. And in all those scriptures, it says, have this or have given, have this. And it was all in the past tense. Now, let's start the lesson today. Now, we must break free from a promised land mentality. To walk in victory, we have to break free from a promised land mentality. Come on, say, I must break free from a promised land mentality. Now, here's the power point. We cannot receive New Testament blessings with an Old Testament mindset. We cannot receive New Testament blessings with an Old Testament mindset. Okay, listen. We cannot receive our inheritance in Christ with a promised land mentality. Promised land. We're trying to get to the promised land. We have to discard that mentality or we're never going to walk in our inheritance in Christ. Don't make the mistake that Israel made under Moses. Don't make that mistake. So let's look at the mistake that they made, and then we can't make the same mistake. So look at Exodus chapter 3. Now you're the smart class. Come on, say, we're the smart class.
We're the smart class.
Come on, say, we're the smart class. Okay, so I'm going to ask you a question. Let's look at this. And the Lord said, I have seen, surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So God is speaking to Moses. Now watch the next verse. He says, and I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, a large land flowing with milk and honey. Now when you look at that verse and you look at what's highlighted, let me ask you a question. You're the smart class. Come on, say, we're the smart class.
We're the smart class.
So is this a spiritual reality or is this a promise? See, some of you got a fuzzy look on your face. Okay. Is this a spiritual reality or is this a promise? Okay, we got spiritual reality and a promise. Okay, remember, a promise has to do with the future.
Yes, sir.
Okay, it's what God is going to do,
right.
What's going to happen,
right.
Okay? A spiritual reality is always in the past tense. The action has already taken place. Let me ask the smart class again. What is this? Is this a promise or a spiritual reality? It is a promise, right? Because God says, I'm going to deliver you, right? He says, I'm going to bring you out of the land. They're not out of the land yet, but it is a promise that I'm going to bring you out. So that's a promise, isn't it? Let's look at our next verse. Look at Numbers 13, 1 through 2. Numbers 13, 1 through 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give to the children of Israel. Every tribe of them shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. Now, look at that verse right there. Let me ask you a question. Is this a promise or a spiritual reality? Oh, that's a little tricky, isn't it? But what is it? Is it a promise or a spiritual reality? Huh? It's a spiritual reality. Why is it a spiritual reality?
Because he would give it to them.
Right. He's given the land to him, right? He's given the land to him, right? Okay, now let's look at something now. Remember, we have to break a promised land mentality. Now let's look at this. Turn to Joshua chapter 1. Now, God did not, listen carefully, God did not send 12 spies into the land so that Israel could whatever. God wanted them, he didn't send them there to find out whether they could take the land. He only sent them to know what the land was going to be like. In fact, what he wanted to do was motivate them, so he brought back some fruit so that they could get all excited about the land. It didn't turn out that way. Now let's look at Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, this 40 years later, because Moses has died, they've been in the wilderness for 40 years, and he says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you, as I said unto anybody see anything here?
Yes.
Okay, what do you see here? Okay, but is there something else you see? Okay, what now? Okay, let me ask you a question. Has Israel put their foot on the land yet? Okay, they hadn't put their foot on the land, right? Yeah, he gave them the land 40 years ago.
Right.
So they had put their foot on the land, right? Foot on the land speaks of possession.
Correct.
So they hadn't possessed what he had given.
That's right.
But he gave it. He said, I have given unto you as I said to Moses. So 40 years before, he had already given the land, but they had not possessed the land, even though it was theirs. Mm. I'm going somewhere with this. It was already there, but they had not possessed it. Why? You know why? Because they didn't make the transition. They didn't make the transition from a promise to a spiritual reality. I'm going somewhere with this. They did not make the transition. So here they have something, but they're not experiencing something that God has already given. Wow, that's a good insight. So question, why did the people die in the wilderness? What?
They were unbelieving.
Unbelief. Come on, say unbelief.
Unbelief.
Okay, you're in the head of the class. You should be sitting up in front. You're the head of the class. Okay, now turn over to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. I'm going to move a little fast. Hebrews chapter 3. We got to see why they die in the wilderness, because we don't want to die and not receive what God wants us to have. And it's happening all the time. Many Christians are dying and not receiving what God has already given. They hadn't put their foot on it. Because they're trying to get a breakthrough. Okay. I think I got your attention. Okay. Now watch this. Let's see whether this sister is really the leader of the class. We're going to find out. Now, she jumped on out there. She jumped on out there. So now we're going to see whether she should be in the head of the class. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses, bodies fell in the wilderness? So they died in the wilderness, the Bible says. Next verse. And to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest? Now, the word rest for them was a physical geographical place called Canaan. And it was a land flowing with milk and honey. So the Bible says they didn't enter into his rest, that physical geographical location. Let's see why. Next verse. So we see that they could not enter in because of? Hey, that's why you should be up in the front right here. They did not enter in. Watch this now. Because of what?
Unbelief.
They did not enter in because of?
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 Unbelief.
Now let's look at the next verse. We're going to go to the third verse. We're going to go all the way to the third verse. Now look what it says. Let us therefore fear, speaking to us now, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering in his rest, any of you should seem to what?
Short of it.
Oh, wow. That tells us. That's a warning that it's possible for us to come up short. I'm doing a series next week. I'm not doing it here. I'm going to continue this, but I'm doing a series next week on Wednesdays at our church called Early Arrivals. And it's about Christians who die prematurely. It's about Christians who die before God gets ready for them to die. The Bible says we can come up.
Sure.
Now look at the next verse. It says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, which tells us this should be profiting you. See, going to church shouldn't be just going to church. The Bible should be profiting you.
Amen.
It should make a difference. It should add to your life, but the Bible didn't profit them. Why? Not being mixed with
faith.
And what they heard. They heard it, but if we don't mix it with
faith,
it won't profit us. And that's why there are many Christians, and some Christians even in teaching environments, teaching churches, they're not profiting, so they're disillusioned. And when you're in an environment, you're hearing and you see no change, you become disillusioned. You start thinking that maybe all this faith stuff and maybe all this teaching stuff and maybe all this word stuff, maybe. And so there are many Christians who are disillusioned. They don't want to hear anything about faith because it's not profiting them. But the reason that it's not profiting them, according to the Bible, is they're not mixing faith with what they heard.
Good.
Look at the next verse. It says, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were
finished.
Works were
finished.
Before the what?
Foundation of the world.
So God is not preparing anything for you. God knew you was going to come on the scene. God knew you were going to get saved. God knew you were going to be in the family. And he prepared everything that you will ever need before you were even born, before you even received Jesus. He sees ahead and provide. The works were finished before the foundation of the world. Everything we're going to need in this church is already done. It's already settled. We got every laborer. We got every leader. We got every resource. We got the land, the building, everything. Everything has already been finished. Well, that's enough to get happy about right there, right? But there's a warning to us. Verse 1, it says, we have to be careful that we don't come up short. Let's look at verse 9 through 12. Verse 9, you getting anything out of this? Look at verse 9 through 12. It says, therefore there's a rest to us. What is that rest? That rest to us is our in Christ inheritance. That rest for us, watch this, it's a stress-free life. Do you know that Christians, we're not supposed to be worrying? We should have a stress-free life. That's the rest for us. Look at the next verse. It says, for he that is entered into his rest, he has also ceased. Underline that, I may mention that. Ceased from his own what?
Works.
Ceased from our own?
Works.
Ceased from our own? Cease from us trying to make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you see that? Look at the next verse. It says, let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example. So the example that God put in Scripture was put in Scripture so that we wouldn't make the same mistake. So that we wouldn't fall after the same example of unbelief. Look at the next verse. It says, for the word of God. Let's just stop right there. That's the key for the what?
Word of God.
For the word of God. Now, I don't know about you, but this is getting interesting to me. It's getting interesting. Are you thinking now about, okay, how does this relate to me? You should be thinking all through the lesson, how does this relate to what I'm going through? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and let's look at it in the Amplified Bible, It says, now faith is the assurance, the what? The what? Title deed, confirmation of things we hope for, being the proof, evidence of things we do not see. Title deed, said title deed. Now God gave Israel the title deed to the promised land in Numbers 13:2. We read it. The land I give you, right? Said title deed. A title deed is a document used to prove ownership. Anybody here got rental property? You got title deeds? Okay, now watch this. Let me ask you some questions. He's an expert. He got rental property. So he gonna serve as our expert. Let me ask you, title deed man. So you got the title deed of your property, right? Okay, question. Even if somebody is occupying the property, let's say you're renting the property out to somebody else, does the property transfer to them?
No.
Okay. So even though they are occupying, you got ownership.
Right.
And you don't lose ownership because they're occupying. No. Okay. That's good. Okay. Next question. So what if your property is vacant? And somebody comes on your property and just set up housekeeping on your property with no contract and no lease. What do you think about that property owner, title deed man?
They got to get out.
Okay. So watch this now. They're illegal occupants. So you have a right to evict them legally. Right? Okay. So in other words, they squatters. Right? And a squatter is a person who settles on land or occupies property unlawfully without title or right. Right? No permission. Okay, now watch this. Israel did not possess the land because there were people on the land. Wow. Remember, they said, there's giants over there in the land. So there were some folks squatting on the land that didn't have the title. So Israel, but that guy right there, he would never let that happen. He said, that ain't gonna happen. So even if I take my tail up there and set up housekeeping in his property, no permission, no lease, no nothing, he said, that's not gonna happen. Right? Well, Israel said, listen, we can't take the land because there's some folk on the land. So they had the title to the land, but there were squatters on the land. And they didn't even believe in their own title. I'm going somewhere with this. Now listen carefully. Even if they had believed, they would have still had to fight. Wouldn't they? Can anybody tell me why? Because the squatter said, we here. And we ain't going nowhere. So now, brother, we got to go to court. Because somebody is contesting your right to ownership. Now, who's going to win from a legal standpoint? The owner is going to win. Now, it may be some work. It may be some hassle, but they're going to win. Israel was going to win. And they were going to go in the fight knowing that they were owners. But they didn't believe it. You following me? Whenever you know the end from the beginning, you can rest. Can't you? Okay, let me mess with you. These from any Auburn people here? Because I know we near Auburn. Okay, we got some. How many Alabama folk we got here? What? Okay, how many saw the game? Alabama-Georgia championship game. How many did not see it? You did not see the game. Okay. You did not see the game. Alabama won. Okay. Okay, watch this. You have that information, right? That Alabama won, but you didn't see the game. Let's say it was recorded now because you want to see the game. Now, the first half didn't look good for Alabama because Georgia was winning. Okay, so let's say now Naomi is watching the game. She didn't see the game, but she knows the end. Right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So even though the first half is looking tough, is she stressed?
No.
Why is she not stressed? Because she already know how it's gonna what's going to happen, right? That's the kind of fight that we're in. You following me? That's the kind of, it's a fight because we're being contested. Right? But we already know that by his stripes we're healed. So even though there's a fight up front, we ain't scared, we ain't nervous, we ain't worried, because we have already seen the end from the
beginning. Come on.
Are you following me now? But many Christians are making the same mistake that Israel made. Now listen carefully. They believe they're in the wilderness. All the Christians talk about we're in the wilderness. I'm going through a little wilderness. Hey, come on, baby, what you doing in the wilderness? Israel's in the wilderness for 40 years because of disobedience. Why are you in the wilderness? What chapter, verse you're standing on? I'm going through a little wilderness experience. You see, you got a promised land mentality. Because the Bible don't say nothing about you being in the wilderness. Then you got Christians, they're praying breakthrough prayers. They're singing breakthrough songs. Got a breakthrough. See, the very fact that you got a breakthrough means you're on the outside trying to get in.
Oh.
That means you ain't there yet. So you got a promised land mentality when God said you already on the other side, but you don't believe it. And the reason you don't believe it because it squatters on the land. Watch this. So they say God is going to. God is going to heal me. God is going to deliver me. God is going to do this. So it's always out here in the future. That's a promised land mentality. So we fighting to get it, what we already got. And we trying to get God to give us what he's already given us. So we have a promised land mentality. So we're not going to experience it because we don't believe it. We're in unbelief. I don't know. That's a good lesson to me, y'all.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's good. I want to talk a little bit. You know, I try to balance these things out, and I'm gonna hit this real quick, and then I'm gonna close with my last point, okay? Because we need to know how to respond. With the information we have, how do I respond? So let me just hit this right quick. We said that 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes you were healed. So how does that relate to medicine, doctors, and procedures? Because sometimes when people hear this, they think, well, if I'm healed, they don't need to go to the doctor. And if I'm healed, I don't need to take any medicine. Okay, well, let's look at this. First, I want to say this right quick, and we're going to move through. Faith, healing, and doctors and medicines are not mutually exclusive. Got it? So in other words, you're not choosing one or the other. I believe that God gave us doctors. The only challenge, the reason we have to build our faith up, is that medicines, doctors, procedures are limited. And many times doctors tell you that they're limited. But I don't think faith is opposed to doctors. Does that make sense to you? Okay. I think we should take the medicine in faith. I think we should go into the procedure in faith. I think we should be confessing while we're taking our insulin. I think we should be confessing I'm healed while we're taking our medicine. I think if we're getting ready to get some surgery, we should be saying by his stripes I'm healed. We should go in there knowing the outcome before we get in there. Look at Mark 11:24. Let me show you something right quick, and then I gotta close this out, and I'm gonna use Willie, the two Willies. The one gonna be the devil, and one of them gonna be God. So y'all decide which one y'all gonna be. Y'all decide. Okay, here's the situation with the medicines and the doctors. Now listen. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire healing. Believe you receive it. So the moment you pray, you're to believe you receive it. And then it says you shall have. Now, believe you receive has to be now. You believe you heal right now. But it is a faith fact. It's not a physical fact. It's a faith fact. You shall have it is a physical fact. So the physical fact you shall have comes after you believe you receive. And sometimes there's a time frame from the time you believe you receive to the actual manifestation shows up. Does that make sense? And what medicines does, all medicine does, is help your body to function at a level, get some of that pain out of your body while you putting pressure on the condition with your faith. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you? Okay, I just wanted to go through that because sometimes people be throwing away their medicine and when they hear faith and they start doing crazy stuff. And a lot of times, you know what it is? It ain't like they in faith, they just afraid. That's why they ain't going to the doctor. They afraid. And so they're really not in faith anyway, they in fear. Just want to throw that out. Okay. Now get back to the lesson, Mike. Get back to the lesson. Put 1 John 1:4. This is my last closing right here, my last closing. Okay, now. Okay. Stand up, Willie. It ain't gonna take us but a minute. Okay, which one of y'all the devil? Okay, Willie. okay, Willie, sorry.
Okay.
Willie's the devil and he's God. Now listen at this, listen carefully. How should Christians respond to the past tense of God's word? How should we respond, okay? Our response to God is one response. Our response to the devil is another response. We don't respond the same way. We got information now. We know that it's finished, right? So what should our response be to God? If you're taking notes, write this down. Acronym ART. A-R-T. 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 So my response to the Father, watch this, is I agree. I agree. If he says I'm healed, I agree with him. Okay, I'm not going to say anything else. I'm going to say what he says. I agree. R, I receive what he says by faith. I receive it in a now. So I believe I'm healed now. A, agree with the Father. R, receive it by faith now. And T, thanksgiving. So the predominant theme, believer, when it comes to your Father, You should be spending a whole lot of time thanking him. The moment you beg him, you're not in faith. The moment you beg, you're not in faith. And it's an insult to him. It makes him feel bad that you think you got to beg. So your predominant thing when you walking by faith is thank you. I'm so glad you healed me. Thank you, Lord. Every day you get up, thank you for healing me. I believe I'm healed in Jesus' name. It's so good. Father, you're so good to me. You're so kind to me. So you never go back to him for that. Your predominant thing with him is thanksgiving. Because if you believe you got something, if I got my healing, this is my healing, why should I keep asking him to give me what he's already given me?
Amen.
Does that make sense to you? Now, my response to the devil is totally different. Okay? My response to the devil is I got to resist him.
Okay.
You understand? So here's the fight. You're not fighting with God. You're not fasting to get God to do something. You fasting to know what God has done. Does that make sense? But now I got to deal with him. I got to deal with him different. So I got to resist him with the word in Jesus' name. So Satan is trying. Watch this now. Come on. Satan trying to. So I resist him. I resist you in Jesus' name. No. I resist you. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. By Jesus' stripes, I'm, see how I'm talking to him? By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Now watch this. See that verse up there? Listen carefully. Listen at this statement. You're resisting Satan from a position of victory, not to gain it. Did you hear that? See, the scripture says you have God, little children, and have what? So I'm resisting him not to gain the victory. I'm resisting him from a point, a position of victory. Does that make sense? Does that make sense to you? Okay, now listen carefully. Look at John 10:10. I know you know it, but look at it. Look at it. Look at it. The thief comes to do what? Stop right there. The thief comes to do what?
Steal.
The thief comes to do what?
Steal.
The thief comes to do what?
Steal.
So Satan is a thief. He comes to take our property, right? Listen at this. Satan cannot steal what you don't already have. I'm going to let that soak in for a second. He cannot steal what you don't already have. Let that soak in for a minute. The very fact that he's trying to steal it implies you got it.
That's right. That's right.
If a house is empty and somebody break in an empty house, what they gonna steal? Because there's nothing to steal, right? So for Satan to be trying to take something, that means you already got something. So don't see yourself trying to get it. See Satan trying to take it. So Satan is trying to what? He's trying to. That's how you have to see the devil. You have to see the devil is not you trying to get something. He's trying to take something, which means you already have it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Now. That's very subtle. But if in your faith fight, and we're going to talk about that, you're trying to get what you already got, then you're not going to receive.